Well, the struggle for equal rights is all too real in this country these days as news of police profiling of African-American men continues to make headlines. My next guest argues that the answer isn't black and white, it's green. The key, he says, is economic empowerment, and the solution is entrepreneurship, though the obstacles can still be daunting. He'll be in town this week to offer his help and maybe make the idea of starting a business a little less intimidating. That's Stephen Washington, who's launched several successful businesses and teaches audiences around the country how to start a business on a budget. He joins us now from Skype from his hometown of Philadelphia. Stephen, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm well, thank you, and thanks for taking some time with us today. You were recently awarded a special honor that took you to the White House. Tell us about it.
It was a you know, complete honor for me. You know, I kind of come from a background, you know, that I come from. I was honored as one of the top 100 entrepreneurs under the age of 30. And it was a great honor. It was very much a surprise.
Did you meet the president?
You know, that's the number one question I'm asked every time. I didn't meet the president.
Ouch.
However, I know I did meet several members of his staff, and I was awarded like a nice letter and things like that from him. But unfortunately, we weren't able to meet him. We just were able to hang out in his house.
You say that you were born to be an entrepreneur. Did entrepreneurship run in your family?
It didn't, actually. But you know what? The way I kind of came up, you know, I think I had my earliest job at the age of 10. And because of that, you know, I was able to see so many different entrepreneurs. You know, obviously, as a 10-year-old or 12-year-old, you can't work for a lot of the big-time companies. So I was able to work in different restaurants and things like that with a lot of entrepreneurs kind of hand-to-hand. And so it really inspired me to want to pursue that avenue.
You know, you wound up starting your first big company while you were still in college. What was that company? Tell us about that.
It was an import-export company. And we were essentially importing clothing from, you know, all over Southeast Asia, from India, from Sri Lanka, from Pakistan. And it was essentially me. I was acting as a broker, and I was kind of middlemaning transactions whereby I would, set up deals with people who were looking to buy the product that we were mainly involved in was textiles. So clothing, T-shirts, hats, things like that. And I would essentially find goods overseas, and then I would find a buyer both here in the States and abroad. Europe was a real big market for us, as well as Africa. And I would broker the deal and, you know, make a small portion in the middle.
How would you have any idea how to run an import-export company when you were in college? I didn't even know what imports and exports were in college. And I'm only exaggerating by a little bit.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I had, even in college, I knew that I had always wanted to start a business. And so I knew I ultimately had to get my game plan together very quickly, because I knew once college ended, I would have student loans to pay back. And it started, I just wanted to figure out how to sell things on eBay. And eBay was just kind of taking off at the time. And so I said, well, look, I see all these people selling various items and things on eBay. How can I do the same? And I began looking and digging and, you know, asking questions. And then I remember bought about 200 pair of pajama pants, and I was begin selling them on eBay one by one. And I just didn't particularly like that niche. I wanted to make, you know, money a little bit different, I guess. And I said, well, you know what? Somebody has to be selling it to these guys on eBay. And literally, I just, you know, being up at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, instead of going to the parties and things like that, I was in my dorm room trying to figure it out. Huh. And long and short, my digging went from finding suppliers here in the U.S. to literally having to go out and buy calling cards at the time to be able to make overseas calls and make some relationships abroad.
Oh, that's interesting. I should say, Stephen Washington speaks at 6:30 Thursday evening at the Black Archives of Mid-America. That's at 1722 East 17th Terrace in Kansas City. The title of his talk, The Color of Freedom is Green, Black Entrepreneurship and Economic Empowerment. You're in real estate these days. I'm wondering, what's your specialty there, Stephen?
It's kind of funny. I shifted out of that business, and I learned a very, very valuable skill set. And the skill set was, you know, basically figuring out how to be in the middle of a transaction realizing that if I can provide value to a buyer and a seller, you know, there's an opportunity for me to be able to make a profit. And so within the real estate business, you know, we kind of do some of the, you know, traditional like fix and flip, like you see on the TV shows, flip that house and things like that.
Yeah.
But our main business actually is, instead of actually going through the full process of fixing a house up, we actually find properties that need fixing up, you know, that are abandoned or vacant or have some sort of physical distress or something going on. And we help put together transactions that we actually can sell it to that developer who wants to go in and fix it up themselves and be able to make a, you know, a fairly modest to sometimes handsome profit in the middle.
And so the value you're offering that developer is what? Finding the property to begin with?
Exactly, because mm-hmm. they don't have to take the time to go out. You know, we vet the entire process from making sure it's a good deal, making sure it's a, you know, clean title, making sure the property is ready to go so they can go in and do what they do best, which is fixing up the property. Most people think that it's just as easy as, oh, if I want to flip a house, I can just go, you know, hire a realtor and just say, find me a house. And in most cases, that's not so much the case, because trying to find a deal that's actually profitable, you know, that's kind of where the rubber meets the road, if you will. And so we kind of, you know, kind of push that process along.
You say that it can be challenging for young Black men and women to participate in the mainstream economy. What are some of those challenges, and are they different from the challenges that other folks might face?
Well, you know, I think one of the challenges for me, for example, coming up is, you know, I came up in a single parent home. I very much lived in the inner city. You know, so much so my mother's car was shot up twice through a drive-by shooting, and we weren't involved in anything like that. It just, I say that to say that's the caliber of the kind of area that I grew up in. And, you know, we didn't see, when I say we, I think about myself and a lot of my friends and family that I came up with, you know, we didn't see a lot of, you know, very positive and prosperous role models. I mean, I came from a very good family, but a lot of my family members hadn't really, I guess, quote unquote, made it, if you will. And I think that if we think about life, you know, we all kind of model to a great extent. You know what I mean? We're very much oftentimes a product of our environment or a product of our exposure. Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of people, you know, who grew up in the inner city and in the environments like that I grew up in, you know, sometimes you just don't know what some of the possibilities are. And I know that sounds, to some, that may sound crazy, because they're like, oh, well, you can see the internet, or you can see even, right, you know, our president, who's an African-American. However, you know, his reality, or some of the other people who've been successful, their reality, you know, is just not always the same. It's TV. You know what I mean? It's not my cousin. It's not my uncle. It's not my dad. It's not my, you know, my friend's dad. These are people that are far, far distant away. And so, you know, that's one of the challenges, I think, is just having those good, solid role models. Another challenge, if you allow me to add, I would say is, you know, I know a lot of people from the inner city who may have gotten, you know, wrapped up in some type of criminal activity whereby they have some sort of felony or something on their record.
Right.
And so what begins to happen then is it becomes a recurring cycle where they're saying, okay, well, look, they get out of prison or jail, and now they're trying to go about, you know, maybe living a good, upstanding life. But then where do they work? You know, who's going to hire them? And it becomes a very much a challenge, because they still want to be able to participate in economy, if you will. They still want to eat. They still want to take care of their family or whatever the case is. And unfortunately, it oftentimes allows them to go down the wrong path.
Well, so I'm wondering, how does entrepreneurship then help eliminate some of the barriers that you're outlining here? How does it help?
Well, for one, for say the person, let's go with the person who say has a felony or something like that on their record. Well, they don't have to, you know, it doesn't matter what your record looks like as far as starting, you know, certain kind of businesses, many businesses, if you will. If you start a car washing business, if you start a clean out your basement business, if you start you know, there's thousands, tens of thousands of businesses that you can start with very little, you know, upfront money and things like that needed. So you allow yourself to be able to go out there and make it happen without having to go through a normal system, if you will. Another thing that you can consider is, as an entrepreneur, myself, I've hired people who have, you know, records and backgrounds and felonies and things like that, because I'm not bound by some of the same, I guess, more corporate structures of these, you know, Fortune 500 companies, where, you know, I can look at the heart or the character of a person and say, okay, look, has this person really changed? Do they really want to do better? And so as an entrepreneur, I'm able to then assist in the economy, if you will, to be able to help those who, you know, in many cases wouldn't be able to have an opportunity.
You know, maybe you've already touched on it, Stephen, but I'm wondering, why don't we wind up seeing as many Black entrepreneurs as white entrepreneurs or Asian entrepreneurs? What is it? What's holding African-Americans back?
You know, obviously, I can't speak for the African-American community as a whole. I can only speak for myself and my experiences.
Sure.
And what I would say is that for me, I just, you know, Steve, if you allow me, I'll tell you, when I was in my senior year of college, and I had been taking, putting off calculus my whole experience of college, I did not want to take calculus because I just knew it was just, you know, going to just kill me. And this is all going to really, really, by the way. So I took the calculus class and I studied really, really hard and I aced the class.
Huh.
And I couldn't believe it.
Right.
And now here I am. This is my final semester in college. And I aced this class that I had just been dreading for so long. And I said, I just had all this realization hit me of saying, look, did I really choose the major that I wanted to choose? Or did I choose the major that I felt like I could get through?
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't know anybody who even took calculus classes and, you know, I obviously knew some people that went to college, but it wasn't the same relationship. So I said it to say, I think exposure is just so, so big, Steve, of, you know, African-Americans having the opportunity to know and meet and engage with other African-Americans even, to see that, no, this is possible. There is a way you can do this.
The culture is such these days that the possibilities are seen as always limited. Am I hearing you right?
Yeah, or seen as, you know, if you want to start a business, you got to, you know, be like the folks on Shark Tank, or you got to start a Facebook, or you have to start something that requires all of this capital and all of these resources and connections and relationships. You know, at the end of the day, starting a business is just solving a problem. So if you can find a problem to solve in any capacity, be it big or huge, you know, everybody has natural skill sets and things like that. If you can find a problem to solve, well, you have the capacity to start a business.
You also say that a challenging upbringing can actually be an advantage. Why?
Absolutely.
Why?
You know, because it allows you to establish creativity. You know, when you have the money there or you have the resources there, you can always kind of lean on that. But when you don't have it, it forces you to kind of go in your creative mind. I mean, literally, you know, when I was doing my import-export business, I mean, it was life-changing for me because here I am, you know, being a kid who was working in the cafeteria making $7 or $6 an hour to now, literally, there were months where we were doing $20,000, $30,000 a month net profit from my dorm. I mean, it was through a business that I didn't have to purchase any products. I didn't have to house any products. I didn't have to warehouse any products. I didn't, you know, I built these relationships both with the buyers and sellers right on the internet. I mean, I say that to say it was just all creativity at work, all just thoughts at work. And that's what business is all about. It's not about the money. I mean, of course it comes into play, but you know, having the disadvantage of not having, you know, different resources and so forth,
yeah,
it can allow your creative mind to open up.
Stephen, I got a minute left here, but I wanted to ask you, if an individual Please. Hasn't had access to a great formal education or a college degree, can they still be successful these days?
Absolutely. You know, the most of the information and knowledge that I've gained in business has absolutely come through just picking up a book. picking up a book, going to the library, going to Barnes and Nobles. You don't even have to buy the book. You can go hang out in Barnes and Nobles. I hope Barnes and Nobles doesn't get mad at me for saying that. You know, you can go on the internet. You can go look, watch YouTube. You can. There's so much access to information. Absolutely, you know, it can be done.
Well, Stephen Washington speaks at 6:30 Thursday evening at the Black Archives of Mid-America, 1722 East 17th Terrace in Kansas City. He'll be talking about The Color of Freedom is Green, Black Entrepreneurship and Economic Empowerment. And Stephen, I really enjoyed having you. Just a great conversationalist. I really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks so much.
No, likewise, Steve. Thank you so much.